Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Bernard, what's going on, man?
Man, I tell you, sometimes you just don't really realize how much it weighs on you.
Yeah.
It's not weighing on you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You don't realize until you don't have the weight on you that it was a weight.
Man, that is so true. Yesterday, right around 4:30 to 5 o'clock, verdict came down from the jury. And what we're talking about, the George Floyd murder scenario, trial of Officer Chauvin. Just remind people, 1 year ago almost, George Floyd was murdered, causing unimaginable pain and trauma for the family, for the country, led to protests and just the multiple things that went on. A lot of people's question, you know, this country, the justice system, and just so many scenarios and the high level of sensitivity associated with race in general, because it was a white police officer killing another black man. Now, that police officer, Officer Chauvin, as I mentioned, was on trial yesterday, and he had three counts against him, three of them. And the jury came back and found him guilty on all three counts. Where were you when you heard about it, Mac, and what did you think about?
I was actually in the car, and they said the verdict was coming.
Right.
Got a text. I said, okay. I said, you know what? Let me just get somewhere quiet, because I don't know. I mean, you know what I mean? Because so many times we've had this, you know, come about, and we just say, oh, there's no way that you can't see what we all see.
Right.
And I just got to be honest. For months and months, I have not been able to get that image of this man with his knee on his neck, with his hands in his pocket.
Yep.
With that smirk on his face. And the outright arrogance of his actions have been what's bothering me more than anything. And I just knew I was going to be in my feelings, as they say, if he was not punished for just that.
Right.
Just that alone. So I was by myself. I actually didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. I just sat in the room by myself, because I just didn't realize. That's why when I opened up and I said, you don't realize the weight until it's no longer a weight.
Right.
After the verdict came down is when I realized how emotional I was tied or invested into the outcome of this verdict, and not just because it's George Floyd, although that's a great reason, because of what it all stands for and what we talked about for the last 10 plus years on this show. Mm-hmm. Opening up this show, talking about things just like this,
yep,
it weighs on you differently. I'll just leave it at that.
And it's really interesting you say that, because I did almost the same thing. I was in my car and I came home. I heard it it was going to be announced. I came home, sat down by myself, and I'm going to be honest with you. I fished me a drink. I'm going to be honest with you. I was nervous because I didn't know. And I'm not sure. Some people may be listening and say, "Well, you guys, what's up? It wasn't going to affect you." Yes, it was affecting me. As KB mentioned, I think it's been affecting me since I've been upright and breathing in this world. Things like this has affected me. So that's why our level of sensitivity was much more higher than maybe some other people. And I tell you, I sat down and I was trying to do some work, do some other stuff, keep busy, look at flipping channels. watching the clock, watching CNN, because they had a picture of the backdrop of the courtroom, and just sitting there watching it. And I came back. I didn't know what to expect. I said, like, I don't know what is this. My mom called me. I called her. I just didn't know what to expect because I'm like you said. We've seen this picture before, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen this movie before. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you. And let me tell you, somebody said, man, this reminds me of OJ. This ain't got a damn thing to do with OJ. Not this one.
No.
That's we have another conversation about that. This has to do with what's been going on recently in this country, and that's a long list of people who've gotten killed by the hands of police officers. And we have no time to mention all of them. And we saw this in plain daylight, plain sight. Mm-hmm. And we were still nervous. We had videos. We had tweets and we got social media. And even when all that backdrop came back, DC, mm-hmm. we were still nervous. We were still wait a minute. This can't be. They can't. Do they have eyes? Can they see? Go ahead, Mac. This is ridiculous.
I knew I had to disconnect about a week ago mm-hmm. as I watched the defense attorney, which I understand he has a job. He's doing it to the best of his ability.
He had a tough job.
As I listened to the defense attorney and the defense that he was putting on and the things that he was using and saying, and, you know, as the mob, you know, grew more unruly, I'm like, what? I said, I just had to stop. I just can't hear because I just know what these words, what these innuendos, what these things mean in our society. And I just had to just stop listening to that because I can't do it. I can't listen to that because it ends up with unjustified murders and killings and all types of things. Because people get desensitized to the fact that we are human beings and we should not be treated any differently than any other human being. So I just had to stop watching that. I just had to stop watching that. That's why also I knew I didn't really want to be around anybody depending on the outcome of this verdict.
Right.
Good or bad.
You know, the only analogy I could use for me, when Alabama playing football, like in the championship game or something, sometimes, you know what I'm saying? You know how we be?
It was nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah, you start pacing. You know what I'm saying? You guys know how we start walking? That's where I was yesterday. Seriously.
Because you start to think, are we really that bad? It really makes you question the things we hold to be true, we believe in. Am I the one that's wrong? Am I the one that's looking at this wrong? Am I the one that thinks that that's murder? That's unjustified. That should never happen. And the only reason it happens is because you don't treat him as a human being and you abuse your power. Am I the only person that believes that?
No.
But it makes you think, right? It makes you wonder. Is it just us? Are we the only ones that see this?
You know what? I got a couple of statements to make. I was telling somebody, I went somewhere yesterday and I ran into a partner of mine. And I'm not sure I was talking to him directly because I kind of know where he looks at things a little different than we look at. Mm-hmm. I kind of said it like that. I said, you know what, man? I said, that's some people probably right now, just after the verdict, probably saying that they got a problem with the verdict. They got a problem with the fact this guy's going to jail. And I said, if I got friends or people I'm associated with or whatever that have a problem, this guy going to jail based on what he did, then quite frankly, I don't want to be associated with them anymore. And it's my choice. And I was kind of talking to this person, but I think mm-hmm. they kind of got, because I know where they was going. Well, how can you believe what Biden and Kamala Harris said, and, you know, it's going, just going at the whole political thing. Man, this is about a man killing a person, taking a person's life, and we saw it in broad daylight. That's what I'm talking about. Now, let's start there first, and we can get into all the political stuff later. Let's start there first. But, K-Mag, we're not, I mean, Reese K. Mac, we're activists, not to the point that people like James Baldwin, back in the 60s, and this is where he said, I pulled this out, he said, this country has to grapple with the contradiction, K. Mac, that in this so-called democracy, people believe the color of one's skin determines the relative value of an individual's life. And increasingly, that's getting worse each and every day. Think about that. The color of one's skin determines the relative value of an individual's life. And that's what I was looking at. That's what we was looking at. Like, okay, do we count? are we part of this life, of this world? Do people have do we have any value? Because that's what it meant to me last night, yesterday.
Could you imagine? And I got people try to pull me on this one the other day. I said, could you imagine the imagery of an African American police officer with his knee on some citizen's personal pet dog, what have you, as the dog screams and yells and yips, as he kneels on the dog's neck until the dog passes away right in front of everybody, while people are yelling, get off the dog's neck. Would there even be a question that was a crime? Would anybody say, well, the dog tried to bite him? Would anybody say he feared dogs? Would anybody say he was afraid of the people that were saying, get off the dog's neck?
Man, it'd be
and every person that's listening to me right now, you know the answer to this question. Wow. And because you know the answer to this question, that is the problem.
Very good point. And people be losing their mind. And that's why I call it the relative value. Do we have value? And it may have felt on people a little different than it felt on us, but I think we just said how it felt on us. Let's hear from some people, and again, CNN, ESPN, everybody. This was a huge story, obviously, something that I think it'll be a long time before we forget about this. We probably remember this for a very, very long time. Let's hear from some people. Let's hear from Nate McMillan, Raleigh's own, Broughton High School, or my in-law, one of them, I can't remember, Nate McMillan, his reaction to the verdict that came down yesterday. Let's take a listen.
But I feel that the jury did their jobs. You know, you got to hold everybody accountable for their actions. And, you know, the jury found him guilty on all three charges. And I thought they did their jobs. I mean, that's all everybody is asking for in this country, is to hold everybody accountable for their actions. Mm-hmm. And I thought they made the right decision today.
Yeah, I mean, I started seeing words like justice, accountability. That was a big one. Let's hear from Jesse Washington of the Undefeated. Of course, he rocks with John S. Miller. He talked about the role athletes played during this case. Let's take a listen.
I think they played a tremendous, tremendous role. Going back really to when Colin Kaepernick started kneeling over this exact same situation. So that sort of set the stage and got the athletes ready. And they have so much influence. They have such a wide audience, and they really, at some risk to their brands and their reputations and their bottom lines, really went out and spoke out for justice and insisted that this was not right, and really helped to build a tide of public sentiment that this kind of thing should not happen. So I really credit and admire and respect all those athletes who took the time to say, hey, we're not going to play. We're not going to shut up. We're not going to be quiet. We're going to speak out for justice for George Floyd.
Unbelievable. Again, people will chime in all over the place. I mentioned before, I went to ESPN, went to other places. Stephen Lay was on there. I mean, Al Duncan, and it's just a lot was going on yesterday. And again, if you don't quite understand what that means, then I'm sorry for you. Let's hear from people from Minnesota. This is the Minnesota guard, I think. Was Josh? Who is this, Dennis? Josh
Okogie?
Okogie, yeah. Okay. Let's hear from him. He talked about how things were living in Minnesota during this time. Let's take a listen.
I think, you know, what's going on in the world, it's difficult for wherever you live, you know, just not Minnesota. You know, to see all these innocent people dying at the hands of police enforcement, I mean, it's not easy to view that anywhere because it could be anybody. You know, it's just not limited to Minnesota. But it's not been that easy.
Yeah, man. People are chiming in all over the place. Even for Minnesota, even in Raleigh. We got James and Raleigh calling to the show. Good morning, James. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. How y'all fellas doing this morning?
Good, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. Yesterday was pretty heavy, buddy. I sat in that chair I got off work. I sat in that chair for an hour and a half, buddy. Waiting for him to come down with a verdict. Didn't know that weight was on me like that, buddy.
Yeah.
To get a guilty. 40 years old, and I'm sitting in my house crying like a little 2-year-old. But this is just the beginning, man. This is just one case. This has been going on a long time, and it felt good to find somebody guilty for killing us, treating us like animals. Like I told somebody before, all we want to do is be treated equally. We don't want to be better than you. We don't want to be more than you. We just want to be treated equal to you. See us the same way you see everybody else. Don't see us believe you. But I was happy the verdict came down. He was found guilty, man. Again, this is just the beginning. There's a whole lot of more cases out there that they need to put some people in jail for. And some people will say, what about black on black crime? It ain't no such thing as black on black crime. It ain't no such thing as white on white crime. If I live next to you and I want to do something to you, I don't care what color you is. I'm going in the house regardless. So we got to get to a point where these people took an oath to say to protect and serve.
Yep.
They do your job. Protect and serve. Don't just 9 minutes. That image, it's something about what happened. The image stayed in my head a long time, man. And I can't get it out. I can't get it out. 9 minutes and 42 seconds. You casually put your knee on a man's neck. Yeah. I told my wife, I said, y'all got to understand, that man felt that life leave out of that man's body. Ain't no way in the world you can just put your knee on a man's neck and you not feel that man life leave his body. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy he was found guilty. Because I think we've been in a tough place this morning, but if they would have found that man not guilty. I think this world would have been in a bad place this morning, man. I think that's what most of these city mayors and councilors, they was happy about. I think most of these states were happy this guy got found guilty, man. They didn't want the wrath of what was coming if they came down with a not guilty verdict. But I'm happy for him, man. But again, I'm happy they held him accountable. And I think this is just the beginning because there's a whole lot of more cases going on that ain't making the media right now, that need to be handled, that people are still getting shot by police. I think this is just the beginning, man. I'm happy for it, but we got a whole lot of work to do, Doc.
Hey, James, appreciate you, man. Thanks for chiming in. Thanks so much. Have a good day, my friend.
You too.
Yeah, send his family, man. And we're going to hear more stories. No. Mm-hmm. Probably maybe someone might be on the air, somewhere out there. But you see how you say you sat down, how you cry. I mean, people may be surprised that grown men are reacting that way. But no, that's, I can tell you for two, that's real. Personally, I can tell you that's real stuff, man.
Look, it's real, real. You know, and I keep talking, you know, and I'm glad James said about the weight too. And you acknowledged it earlier. I think a lot of people just don't realize. But, the easiest thing to kind of remember, no matter who you are, just listening. Just imagine if you had to sit in your home in fear every day, every night, and just think that one day, unsuspecting, unknowing of you, somebody would just try to take your life just because. That level of fear that we live outside, just interacting just out in public, is crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. It's really insane that you have to live. We have to live like that.
And you are extremely naive if you don't think that's real, because it is. I mean, it's something you need to.
Don't matter if you drive the speed limit. It don't matter what neighborhoods you live in. Don't matter what. You got a nice car, raggedy car. Don't matter. You even have a car. Doesn't even matter. Young, old, 65 years old, woman, black. The only thing that's the common denominator is the fact that your skin is darker than theirs. That's it. That's it. No matter what you say, no matter how you respond to them. Yes, officer. No, officer. No, I didn't. Here's my hands. Here's my license. Doesn't matter. This just doesn't matter.
I mean, I just thought about four or five scenarios when you just said that.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
It's just.
I'm a kid. I'm by myself. I'm coming from the store. I'm on the sidewalk. I'm not on the sidewalk. You know, it's snowing on the sidewalk. Sidewalk's blocked. I get in the street. So I'm walking. And I sit. It doesn't matter. I'm jogging. I have nothing on but a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. I still get stopped.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You may get shot. Not stopped.
Right.
You may get shot. I'm all
not in the neighborhood. I'm running down, you know, a strip mall. I'm not in the neighborhood. Yeah. I'm close to nobody's house. And it still happens. Doesn't matter. There's only one common connecting factor.
I just hope and wish going forward. Just people, it just, if you don't understand, how about, do them a favor, how about trying to understand? Let's start there first. Okay, let's start there. Let that be the launching point right there.
Yep.
We're gonna talk more. The rest of we got other people coming on this sports talk show, but I'll be damned if we're not gonna talk about this and sports too. Let's keep it moving.
We people too.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Well, let's find out what our main guy. We do this each and every Wednesday. We're so excited about one of our newest segments. There's always more to the story, and we're ready to rock with our main man, James White, calling in with more to the story. Mr. White, what's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm okay. Good morning. You know, I think there's a question that is looming on my mind, and I think it's a question on all of our minds, especially in light of what we've been talking about this morning and in light of just a day that yesterday is a day that we all will remember. And that's this question, is it time to celebrate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, celebrations always remind us of what's important, and it's really the culmination of the story. And sports has always been the place of celebration. I mean, if there's one thing that sports teach us, shows us, is how to celebrate. And, you know, we even choose certain sports because we understand when to celebrate. You know, in the NFL draft, it's a celebration. And yes, it's true, not all first-round quarterbacks have stellar careers in the NFL. But you know what? There's a celebration. We even looked at the WNBA. Michaela Onwuegbe's grandmother stole the show. Why? Because celebration is the culmination of her whole granddaughter's life. And when an NBA player makes a shot, they even have motions. They even will give motions like they got ice in their veins. I mean, it's time to celebrate. When the soccer team scores the goal, the whole team goes into the corner because it's time to celebrate. And yes, that is why we are questioning Trevor Lawrence's California light, remember the Titans, sunshine quarterback coolness, because when he has to put it all on the line, will he celebrate? Look, we're in the NBA right now, and man, talk about celebration. When there's a dunk, we celebrate. When Stephen Curry has his three-point phenomenal ordinary experience, we celebrate. I even remember when Allen Iverson crossed up Michael Jordan, we celebrated. It's celebration. However, yesterday, April 20th, 2021, will be a day when we will remember experiencing those all too infrequent celebrations that happen when justice is served. Derek Chauvin, at approximately 4:40, the verdict is read, And once again, before that verdict, yes, there was about an hour we were waiting. It felt like the O.J. Simpson trial all over again, but there was not a split screen this time. And yes, when the verdict was read, everybody was in the street, guilty on all three accounts. And we watched the cheering in the streets. We watched the tears of his family. But what did several professional athletes say? They said, I thought it was so true. One word, LeBron James, he said accountability. Carl Anthony Towns for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who was born in 1995, he said, justice and accountability are things that I never thought I would see. There's much more work to do, but this is an amazing start to the work that's needed to reform our country. 23-year-old Naomi Osaka, the tennis pro, she said, I was going to make a tweet, a celebrate, but then I was hit with sadness because we're celebrating something that is clear as day, the fact that so many injustices occurring to make us hold our breath towards an outcome that should be. It's really telling. There's a whole generation that was born, 1995, 1997. They do not remember Emmett Till. They were not there when the O.J. Simpson verdict was read. They were not there with the injustice of Rodney King. And so now there's a whole new experience of, do we celebrate? Yeah, George Floyd's brother said it well when he said, we're able to breathe again, but maybe just for a moment, because there are three more officers that need to be tried. And we're going to have to endure another trial with Dante Wright. So we need sports this morning. Because we need, again, to celebrate. However, yesterday was a reminder, even in our celebration, there is always more to the story.
Wow. Well, Mac.
Man, that right there says it all. There's always more to the story. That says it all right there.
Brother James, as always, man, thank you so much. So where were you and how did you feel when you heard the verdict yesterday?
Man, I got to be careful because I don't want to get emotional. But yesterday was my 60th birthday. Yesterday,
oh,
April 20th, I turned 60 years old. And so my family was trying to celebrate my birthday, but it was like everything stopped. And I had to watch the screen, but I kept thinking of OJ. I kept thinking of all the other times. And we're celebrating a person, but there's a system that's got to be changed. There's a system that's got to be changed so that really, we wouldn't even think about having to celebrate what really should be justice and what's right that's done in America. So, man, I was paused. I was thinking. And I was like Naomi Osaka. I was sad. I didn't tweet anything out. But, man, I'm thinking this is what I'll remember my birthday, my 60th birthday by this moment right here.
Wow. That's again, unforgettable.
Again. It's that weight, I'm telling you.
It's
different.
Yes.
People try. A lot of people trying to figure it out right now. Like, well, these guys are smart. They're accomplished. They shouldn't have to worry about. They just don't comprehend that weight. They just don't.
No, they don't.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say this is why what we do with Sports Talk Radio. How we bring perspective, but then man, people are going to need to celebrate again. It's part of what makes us human, and that's what sports gives us. And so that's why this is so important for us to deal with this morning.
Well, I didn't have to worry about what you're going to talk about because obviously this was at the top of the list. But man, from the Sports Shop family, we so proud that you're part of our family. We want to say happy birthday to you, my friend. Really appreciate you, okay? All right,
thank
man.
You,
take
brother.
Care.
All right. We'll see. Thank you.
Wow. That is.
I think that'll be a common theme. I mean, even after we get off the show, we talk to other people, Reese. You, that's going to be a common theme you hear people as they reflect on yesterday. it just hits, it hits differently. It just does. Because, you know, and I'll say that's not where we got to go. Even when you walk around in everyday life now, when you walk into a room, when we go into different, because we go into a lot of different rooms, a lot of different people, you think to yourself, what do you really think of me? Right?
Wait, you hold up. Wait, I mean, you know what? Just, I know we got a couple of seconds. I remember, you know, people, I can't remember where we were, but you and I walked in a room, a couple other guys, and you know, we big guys, we dark-skinned guys, big guys. We walk in, and we walk in the room, and we having this technology conversation. And they looking at us like, on sight, like, these guys can't, they don't fit the mold. We walk in, then we start talking about what we're doing and describing, you know, the networks and all. And the look on their face is like, wow, those guys, they're really sharp. They know what the hell they're talking about. Sight on scene, K-Mac, as you always say. It's amazing.
Always. What? Look, let me tell you something. It's a different lifestyle when they see you and they want to, immediately all they want to talk about is where you, you know, what type of ring is that, a Super Bowl ring you're wearing.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's like, what? It's like, what? Super Bowl ring.
Man, let's talk about how we put together these mess networks. Let's talk about that. How you, that's that conversation.
We talk about changing the trajectory of technology in your actual state.
Right.
You're gonna ask me about the Super Bowl ring. Like, really?
That is right. Man.
The answer is no, I won't talk about that.
I had to take a jack off when you said that that reminded me of many occasions where that's happened to us. But we'll keep it moving.
That's probably people listening going, wait a minute. Y'all do more just radio? Okay.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Man, you know, in light of the George Floyd murder verdict yesterday with former police officer Derek Chauvin, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of, you know, outcry all over the country. And no better person to bring onto the show right now to continue this conversation and get some insight from Greer Webb, who is one of our Salute to Champions for the Sports Shop from this year. Welcome to the show, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm glad to be back with y'all this morning.
Glad to have you, my friend. Glad to have you. So in light of, we've been talking about it all morning, as you can imagine, Reese and I have, Dennis also. In light of the verdict yesterday and all, you know, everything that led up to that, give me your initial impression, your initial thoughts when the verdict was read or leading up to it.
You know, I think we were all waiting on pins and needles while the verdict was waiting to be given down. And then once it was given, I kind of exhaled. But in that same breath, I recommitted to the fight against injustice. I think so many of us didn't know which way it was going to go. And as Black people especially, that takes a toll on you, on your mental health. The fact that this trial was dragged out, you know, over a year, the fact that we even got to this point because a 17-year-old, a young woman just a few years younger than myself, filmed it for the public to see this horrific murder, that really says something. And so while I am pleased that the verdict was guilty on all three counts, I think that that wasn't really true justice, but just one small measure of accountability. And we've got to keep working to make sure that the system works for all Americans.
We're talking to Greer Webb, who we try to engage with us, particularly when things happen in the community, in the world, relative to what happened yesterday with the verdict on the George Floyd murder. And it's interesting you mentioned, Greer, you're right. You're not that you're a very young guy, in 20s maybe, early 20s, or even, I'm not sure you're 20 years old yet. And yet you had that reaction about sitting on pins and needles, and K-Mac and I, and we are extremely north of 20 years old. And we had the same, and we had the same feeling. We were anxious, but we had a lot of history associated with us. And I'm interested in you being so young that you it's I think it's ironic that you felt the same kind of way. And talk about that.
Definitely. I mean, I am recently 20, and so I think that there's a common thread that runs between Black people in the United States, and that's, not only are we resilient, not only are we bold and courageous, and we use community and do community well, but we're also connected by the common thread of America's original sin of slavery and all of the impacts that that brought upon so many of our systems. And so I think that we've seen time and time again that the system, whether it's criminal justice or another, routinely doesn't work for us and for our people. And so that's why I was anxious, because America has just shown time and time again, even in my life, with the horrific and tragic murders at the hands of community or at the hands of police of young Black men and women, that there never really is justice. And as Dante Wright, whose case is pending, his mother said, their families never get justice. They're always looking for accountability because their son or their daughter will never be able to come back with them and sit at their dinner table and talk with them, smile. And so I think it's so important that we keep our eyes on the prize, which is that systemic and structural change. But you're right. Even at 20, I do understand that Black people are resilient, but we're also jaded because we know the truth. We know the truth ingrained in this nation's history and the impacts of the dehumanization of Black people. And so it's sad, it's frustrating, but I try my best to use it as motivation to keep fighting, so we're more confident when we have, hopefully we don't have cases like this in the future, but we know that this is going to continue in the near future. And so I want to be sure that we get at least accountability for these families.
We're talking with Greer Webb. We're discussing the outcome of yesterday's verdict with former police officer Derek Chauvin. And talk about impact in our local community here, in our local area. Just talk about that impact and, you know, some of the things that young people and people are doing in our local community that's close to us here.
Definitely. I mean, throughout the Triangle, there have been young people in particular on the front lines of this fight for police reform or police transformation, as well as older generations of North Carolinians that are just fed up with this police violence in particular. And so we're going to continue, as we did last summer, leading protests, educating our communities about what needs to happen, educating our communities, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues about history, the history of North Carolina, the history of policing, the history of racism in this country. And so finally, then we're going to commit or recommit ourselves to change. You know, I mentioned I kind of exhaled. That's what I've been telling people. Yesterday, when the verdict was read, I exhaled. But with that same breath, I reflected and then recommitted to fighting against these injustices. I mean, men and women in the United States, even here in North Carolina, unfortunately, are being taken from their families, lives cut short. And so I think we do recognize that here in the Triangle, here in North Carolina. And we've got to continue to put pressure, like we have over the past few years specifically, on our governmental and legislative leaders to work with the community to pass substantial policies, written policies, that are going to really further the cause of justice. You know, I sometimes joke, but I'm serious with people, that activists and young people and communities of color have been doing this work for a long, long time. And so we need these politicians now to get their pens moving as fast as our feet have been marching throughout history.
Wow. We talked to Greer Webb, UNC student, believe it or not, and community leader. Greer, one of the things that I'm interested in, so what's next? I mean, protesting, I know yesterday it was a time to reflect and be happy in the moment, but understand there's more work to be done, a lot more work to be done. So in addition to talking to some of our government leaders and political leaders, what are some of the things that, as people that's listening to us right now, some of the things they can do, even young people, that they can do to help the cause, so to speak?
Definitely. Well, I think that, like I've said before, true change takes three steps: education plus protesting or raising your voice plus policy change. And so I think that everybody can use what voice they have to promote the pillars of anti-racism, whether that's in their workspace or with their family or with their friends, even college students, to continually check against these biases. And so we can all protest in whatever form that may be. We can all write letters to our legislative officials and governmental officials. We've already seen some of the reforms put forward by people like Governor Cooper or Attorney General Josh Stein. And so we need to constantly be playing our part, constantly having these conversations and constantly speaking out and helping helping folks understand around us that these issues are personal, right? And relating that down to how would you feel if your brother or mother or grandmother or uncle or aunt was killed for seemingly no reason. And so we've got to make politics personal. We've got to keep the pressure up on our leaders, but we've got to make sure that we're holding ourselves accountable by checking against discrimination and biases in our personal spaces. And that's something we all can do. I like to say often, we can't all do the same thing, but there is something that we each can do. So we've got to use our strengths, our diversity of strengths, to our benefit as a community to make sure that lives aren't being lost.
Outstanding. Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. Greg, as always, it's a pleasure having you on. It's a pleasure getting your insight. And it's a pleasure getting a pulse of the fight and the things that are going on to kind of continue to help move us forward. And it's just wonderful to hear, you know, young people like yourselves and others that are helping leading that fight and help get in front and add some real intellectual thought into the process of how we can
and context too
and context too,
so
thank you so much for what you do. Continue doing what you're doing, and hopefully we can get continue to have you come on and enlighten us with, you know, what you guys are what's going on out there, what you guys are doing.
Sounds good. Thank y'all. Let's hold on to hope.
There you sounds go. Great to me.
You're well, man. Wow.
Hey, man. I tell you, Reed. Hey, I tell you, boy. I'm gonna just go ahead and be honest. That ain't what I was doing when I was 19.
I'm looking back. I'm looking at my life. I said, "What the hell? What, man? I came back. We were slacking big time. We was 19, 20 years old.
I was chasing a dream, but it sure wasn't that."
Man, unbelievable. Incredible. That's a
dream, huh? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Trump's right. Hey, look. Well, yeah. Anyway, I'll leave that alone.
Yeah. Incredible man. Incredible young man. Love to hear
great him. Young man.
His perspective, man. Unbelievable. Just a talent.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Welcome back to the Sports Shop. Sports Shop, Reese and K-Mac. Man, we're having ourselves a ball. We're having a good time as we always do. Hey, did we ever close out the poll question? Since we don't have one today. Do we ever close out the poll question from Monday? The breakfast stuff?
Yeah. Yes, we did. So the question was, which is better breakfast? Is it McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, or Burger King? It was Chick-fil-A with 57.7% of the vote. McDonald's in second with just under 33% of the vote. We also had some write-ins for Bojangles, Biscuitville, and someone wrote Sheetz.
Yeah. Yeah, that's which blows my mind when I saw that. Really?
So...
Yeah, I need a sandwich and a 10 on pump 4.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of Sheetz and other petroleum gas station establishments or whatever you want to call them, have you guys ever had anything off that little hot dog roller thing that they used to have in the convenience store? You know what they
who hasn't?
Oh! I mean, hey, why are you playing? I used to roll in like they had a what was that? That was a Shell right there on Miami Boulevard in the park. They had the best hot dogs on that little roller thing while you playing. Seriously, I'm just not even playing.
See, and I'm just trying to think. First of all, it's ingenious, right? Cause it's just cooking while it's just rolling around on there. But then I think about it, like, so hot dogs from the gas station and sushi from the gas station.
The sushi, I'm not. I don't think I had sushi for the gas station.
Not that.
Not that. That's so much.
Sushi. Well, what happened? That's got over the top.
Total disaster.
Yeah, that's got over the top there, man.
I'm just asking, guys. I'm just asking. So sushi from the gas station or the Cleveland Cavaliers, same thing. Anyway, all right.
You're not wrong.
I'm just saying it's kind of the same. I wanted to say that both leave you with that bad feeling. Middle of the week headlines. It's hump day. We got a lot to talk about. Jasmine playing hooky again? Oh, that's right. She's working. Never mind.
DC
got it. DC, what we got, man? It's middle of the week. What we got?
All right. Since you teased it coming out of the last segment, Mike Tomlin gets a 3-year contract extension from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Will be under contract through the 2024 season. Now, K-Mac, my question for you is, why you hating?
What are we paying him for?
To coach.
Last year was I mean, it wasn't a failure on like a Cleveland Brown failure, but what did you do? What did you accomplish last year? What did you accomplish the year before that?
Okay, let's see. Let's take a look ahead. Let's see. They went 12-4 last year, won the division. Okay, the year before that,
you had a collapse. I mean, look at how you collapsed down the stretch last year. You started out undefeated, you completely and totally collapsed down the stretch.
There's
no reason.
Fine. Yeah, they did. Last year was a failure. Is this the Washington football team where we just get rid of guys after one season?
Hey! Don't bring up other people.
Go ahead.
Don't bring up other people.
None of your players retired from. You used to play with y'all too yesterday.
You too, Charlie. Why are we switching? Let's not switch.
Why not give an extension to a guy who's never had a season below 500? Why would we not?
Hey guys.
And 9 seasons of 10 plus wins. Go ahead, I'll wait.
Can I mention just one thing? I mean, somewhat related, but not really. You have to be impressed that since the modern day of the franchise, they've only had 3 coaches. Chuck Noll, and who's the other one?
Bill Cowher,
and Mike Tomlin. That's pretty damn impressive there. But that, just think about that for a second.
But are they being loyal to a guy to a fault? That's my question right now.
Man, no. The man that won a damn Super Bowl, and he went to another one. Okay, man, what do you want?
I mean, what have you done for me lately? I mean, I thought that's what we do here.
Went to the playoffs last year. So we're just going to get rid of coaches that go to the playoffs? I mean, is that what we're doing?
That's what they do. It happens.
Not in Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, that's true. All right. I'll leave it alone.
Get off my frat, brother K-Mac.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to talk to you, because I already knew how you go. I don't even want to talk to you.
As a matter of fact,
I don't even know why I'm arguing with Dennis, because I know how he rolls. So I'm out here on this limb by myself, I guess.
Hey,
I
you walked out there yourself. I'm just going to say.
You did. I'm out here on the limb myself. Yeah. Okay, so all right. So let's just put it in context, because we have a history on this show of having amnesia when other times this stuff shows up. Mm-hmm. So I just want to put it out there. According to YouTube, because he's not, he's had a winning seasons. He's had winning seasons, never been below 500. What you say? Haven't been below 500?
Never had a season below 500.
How many seasons has he been there?
He's been there since 2007.
2007. Okay, 13 years. Whatever it is. So, great. I understand. 13 plus years. How many Super Bowls? One or two?
He's won one,
lost one. Okay. All right. So, according to you guys, that's enough to say this is our guy. We're going to ride with him off into the sunset. Not that he didn't close the deal last year. Not that his team had an epic collapse. Not that they've had all kind of ups and downs over the last 3 years. You're saying because of that resume, that's why you pay this guy, and that's why this guy is your guy.
Well, I think it's actually impressive coaching job by him, the fact that there have been ups and downs and they're still winning. You got to think, last season, back 2019, starting quarterback gets hurt after 6 quarters of play, and they still go 8-8. And they had guys like Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph starting, and they still went 8-8. And you had to deal with a guy like Antonio Brown, because look what happened. Sorry, Reese. Look what happened when he went to the Raiders, the problem that he caused. And Mike Tomlin managed that.
That's exactly right. And furthermore, you can't win anybody first name Mason as your quarterback anyway.
Yeah.
That's just a run there. I mean, come on.
And a guy named Duck.
All right.
Come on, K-Mac. Is that enough?
Congratulations, Coach Mike Tomlin, on your extension in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just know that if you run into the Washington football team again, we will derail your season once again like we did last year.
Wow.
Move it on. Take that.
That's what this show is today?
I have no idea. Touchy.
What else do you have, Sir Dennis?
All right, next one. Jordan Reed retiring over concussion issues. honest question here.
Really?
Yes. Really? Legit, honest question here. If it wasn't for the injuries in his career, how good could he have been? Like, that's a legit, honest question, because when he was healthy, he was fantastic.
And here's an honest
Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce, kind of good.
I agree. No, he was special. He was special.
Not Gronk, but really pretty damn good.
He was special. And because I mean, he caught the ball like he ran like a wide receiver. He was a big guy that ran like a wide receiver. And unfortunately, he had concussion after concussions over and over again.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I hate that. I hate that his career had come in like that, end abruptly like that, because a lot of people don't realize when you get to the level of play that they are in the NFL, your entire livelihood or life on this planet has been wrapped around that football. So for it to come to an end like that is, you know, I feel for him.
Yeah, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one here. LeBron James still might be out for multiple weeks recovering from his ankle injury. Also, James Harden appears to have suffered a setback in his recovery. Question for you guys is the NBA, has it built itself too much on these individual top stars?
Ooh.
Because we see when these top stars are out, ratings aren't very high, and, you know, there's a lot of, disinterest at times towards the NBA top guys are out.
To answer your question, I think yes. I think, historically, they've done that. I mean, the NBA is going to be built on, you know, maybe 5 to 10 guys anyway. But the problem with these guys is that they've been out for a minute, and then you turn on the game. LeBron's not playing, AD's not playing, KD's still out, James Harden's still out. Then you're like, you don't want to watch it because of that. So yeah, that's a risk you run when you kind of send it around certain players in the NBA.
I'm gonna say it a little differently, as you guys can probably imagine. And Reese, you know I'm talking about, DC and others that's listening. You know how you get at the gym, you get that run, you're going to get that even that weekday run or that Saturday morning run. Mm-hmm. Those first 4 or 5 games, really good run, right? Everybody's playing, everybody's balling, everybody. It's good run.
Yeah.
Those last 2 or 3, when half the people leaving the gym doing. Is the worst basketball.
It's the worst basketball ever. You're right.
Horrible. It's like it's really reserved for middle schools that's just trying to play with the men or with the big guys. You know what I mean? For kids from the other court that can finally come over there and play a little bit. That's really what it is. It's horrible.
The guys that show up late because they slept in, they get mad because ain't nobody there running. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's horrible. The basketball, they just taking stupid shots. It's just horrible basketball.
That's good.
Sometimes I feel like that's what we get fed from the NBA with the whole load management thing. Let me not say fake because they could be real. With the whole, I'm hurt, I just can't do it today, you know. Setbacks from James Harden and drama from Kyrie and KD. It just goes on and on and on. And I just feel like sometimes the NBA is feeding us those last 2 games at the gym at the Y. And I'm not signing up for that. That's not what we're here to watch. That's what I feel like we're watching.
And to your point, it's somewhat unwatchable sometimes. It could be a couple of games on, and I'm normally, in the past, I'm locked in. So I'm like, now I'm just flipping through channels, going and watching a movie or something. Sometimes it's really unwatchable. And I think
it's horrible.
And you gave the reasons why. You really did.
So I just wanted to kind of break it down, you know, people that's trying to like, because a lot of people try to say, oh, it's these privileged athletes. Okay, well, I don't have to do all that. I'm just talking about just basketball. You know what I mean? Let's just do basketball. And when you just do basketball, it's bad basketball. And that's the kind of basketball I think we've been fed. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. 100%.
All right. That is it. That's what I have for you guys for headlines. Consider yourselves caught up.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, DC.
Assistant GM for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, by the way, in the last, basically, 15 years, the only coach with a better win percentage than Mike Tomlin is Bill Belichick. So there you go.
Take that for data.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, excuse me, Amen Corner. Ain't nobody asked you nothing.
No, I just thought I'd just chime in.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
talk about it.
Stop texting me. Oh my, look, you know what? Is everybody a damn Pittsburgh Steelers fan today?
Well, I'm just curious. Like, who
oh my God.
Who would be better? Who would be better, K-Mac?
Okay, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm gonna stop.
No, you started it. You can't say stop now. You started this. We're gonna see it through.
Oh my gosh. They are caught. Reese, get your people off of me, man. Get your people off of me.
Yeah, you get them off yourself. You brought them on you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll never say. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. No, I don't have a problem with Mike Tomlin. Why?
Apparently, you do.
You better stay in your lane. That's what happens. Get inside your lane.
Wow.
Stay in your lane, man. I'm just
use
saying,
your turn signal, sir.
Hey, Mitchell, let's go to break.
As always, you can visit the Sports Shop website, thesportshopradio.com, to catch up on all things Sports Shop, help put together by our good friends at Creative Allies. Wow. Creative Allies believes that everyone deserves great marketing, so no matter what your budget is, the team at Creative Allies can help you with anything digital, whether that's a new logo design, a new website, maybe even you need fresh takes like K-Mac. If you're a small business owner who needs a little help with marketing, reach out. Tape. Visit creativeallies.com or send an email, marketing@creativeallies.com.
Yes, I know he's black. Trust me. What in the world?
Are you serious?
I am sorry. Listen, okay, hold on. I have to say this. People that are listening, people that are chiming in, listen, I'm just pointing out the fact that they didn't have such a great ending to last year. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying Mike Tomlin can't coach. I'm not saying he's a good guy. I just asked a question.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounded like to me.
Throwing shade.
I mean, I got tape. We can run it back.
Right, that's right. And we record all our
No, we don't need to do that. Wow. People are really mad at me. What about Roy Williams? How about that, huh? Let's change the
topic. Don't be trying to change the topic. Thank you, Roy. Russ, I'm done. I'm out.
Oh, my gosh.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.